Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 108 of Generation GC, Good Morning Revival, the title track of Good Morning Revival, Good Charlotte's fourth studio album released in 2007. My name is Molly Huddleston. Once again, and as always, I'm your host, as well as the producer, creator, and editor of this podcast. My guest today is Emily McLeod, the co-host of Let's Talk Records. Emily's co-host, Jen Evans, was previously on the show back in 2021. She talked about March on episode 53, and I just absolutely love that these two collaborators and lifelong best friends are bookending the same album. I mean, it feels perfect to me. Last time, we talked about Falling Away from the Chronicles of Life and Death. On our next episode, we'll be talking about a song from Cardiology. Emily lives in New Hampshire with her golden retriever, Rumney, who just turned one. On Let's Talk Records, she and Jen give each other a record to listen to from their own library and discuss themes, music videos, and dissect the true meaning behind the songs. For Emily, GC is all about nostalgia. They were her first ever concert. Her dad took her to see them in Boston, which was a very special experience. Emily and Jen have been best friends for 24 years, which friendship goals, honestly, like, incredible. The two of them would scream along to Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous in the back of her mom's minivan, dressed in all black, thinking they were the coolest kids ever, and they still think that. And yeah, I totally agree. Emily and Jen are both awesome. I had such a wonderful time having Jen on the show, and it made me super happy that I was finally able to have Emily as a guest as well. To check in with a personal update, I am really happy to share that my migraine attacks and daily headaches seem to be improving, like, actually. I'm almost 2 months into Ajovy, which is my new migraine preventative medication, and it's cutting down on the frequency and severity of my migraine attacks. I am also improving in my sort of daily pain level, my daily headaches. I've been doing physical therapy. I got a new pillow that actually made a huge difference. And I have a really good toolkit of medications that I can take to treat attacks and headaches when they do happen. All of this still feels like a surprise, almost like kind of a shock with just how suddenly my migraine attacks and daily headaches seem to increase. First, last August, and then they became basically nonstop again in November. I don't know if I will ever really know exactly why, which really sucks, but I am finally seeing the light, which is exciting. You know, I don't know if I will ever be quote-unquote cured or migraine-free. I mean, that's a dream, right? But I feel like I'm seeing a light. Things are improving on a daily level in terms of, like, my pain level and how well I'm functioning on a daily level. And in terms of the migraine attacks, those are less frequent and less severe. So that is really, really good. That being said, will Generation GC ever go back to releasing a new episode every single week? Honestly, probably not. I am feeling more productive and hoping that over the next few weeks, as I continue to improve in terms of my health and my pain, I can get into a good rhythm for releasing episodes. I have some really fun episodes planned and in the works. But yeah, realistically, it's probably never going to go back to a new episode every single week. There's just a lot going on in my life. But with that, a few reminders before we go into episode 108. First, I am very much looking for guests for some new episodes that will be recorded over the next couple of months. I love having guests from all around the world and from all different backgrounds on Generation GC. And if English isn't your first language, that's okay. As long as you're comfortable holding a conversation in English, you're good to go. And different backgrounds doesn't just mean location or ethnicity. That means ensuring a varied gender and sexuality representation and representing fans of different ages and fans with your own unique life experience of any sort. So if you're listening to this and you're thinking, hey, I want to hear myself on Generation GC. I want to tell my story. I have something to share that I want to tell the world and that maybe other people can connect to. Oh my God, please reach out. I would love to talk about having you on the show. Finally, Generation GC stickers are here. If you do want a sticker, all you've got to do is support the show on Anchor. Go to anchor.fm/generationGCpod and click support. All of that money goes right back into making the show the best that it can be. It helps me print and ship stickers. It helps me pay for Dropbox storage space, as well as hard drives and other office supplies that I need to keep it going. So you're going to support the show on Anchor and then take a screenshot of your support, send that to me along with your mailing address, and I will send you stickers. You can hit me up on email, generationgcpod@gmail.com, or generationgcpod on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. And I'll get you the stickers. Thank you so much for tuning in. I cannot wait for you to hear this episode. Now on to episode 108.
All right, so today we are talking about Good Morning Revival, which is track one. It is the first track and also the title track from Good Charlotte's fourth album, Good Morning Revival, released in 2007. Track two is Misery. And this one slides into Misery pretty well. I was just listening to them back to back before we hopped on. In the bio on the band's website at the time, they described this as an artful, innovative sound collage that slides into the irresistible Misery. I think it's a great descriptor. The song was written by Benji and Joel Madden and Don Gilmore. It was not a single. According to setlist.fm, it has been played live. I don't know if you have ever seen them play it live. Here's what I don't think I did, because I saw them in the fall of 2006. So they played Misery, but I don't think they were playing anything else from the album yet. Maybe Keep Your Hands Off My Girl. But according to setlist.fm, almost every time they played it, it was introducing Misery. But Misery does not always have Good Morning Revival before it. But I'm curious, because, you know, on various tours, they might play Once Upon a Time or Generation RX or A New Beginning, you know, with whatever album they were touring off of, just like played over the speakers as their intro. And maybe then the band hops on stage to play their instruments to kind of finish it. Sometimes I feel like those have been played just like over the speakers and then the band comes on. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious how that actually kind of worked for this song.
Yeah.
There was one show from December 7th, 2007 at the Target Center in Minneapolis. I wonder if this might have been Justin Timberlake tour. I don't know. But this set list per setlist.fm began with Good Morning Revival and was followed by the anthem.
Which is a really interesting.
Right. Well, so
really interesting transition.
I have a couple of thoughts on that, which is number one, maybe they just forgot to write down Misery also.
Yeah. Oh, true. Yeah.
Number two, maybe Good Morning Revival was like played over the speakers and then the band came on stage.
But it would be a weird song to play over the speakers because you would have to have a hard stop because it just flows into Misery.
Right. No, I agree. It would be weird.
Yeah.
I feel like it's more likely that they just forgot to write down Misery. Yeah. Like
maybe they just put it there as if it was one song because it would have been one continuous thing. I don't know. Yeah.
But this was used as a set opener a handful of times, which like I think is pretty sick.
Yeah.
And Emily, we have a lot to talk about with this song, but first I want to help our guests get to know you. Okay. And the first question I like to ask is when did you first hear Good Charlotte and what were your first thoughts on them?
So I first heard Good Charlotte, man, I was in like sixth or seventh grade. That's a really long time ago now, so I'm not quite sure exactly which year. but it was kind of in conjunction with my best friend introducing them to me. I used to watch a lot of Fuse TV growing up. And I don't know if you're familiar with like Henry Rollins had a show where he would introduce bands that he liked. And
did he introduce Good Charlotte?
He did, yeah. And I'm trying to remember.
I just have to say I'm so surprised that like Henry Rollins likes Good Charlotte.
Yeah, I know.
I like that. Cool.
Right. That's also how I discovered like Death Cab for Cutie and Motion City soundtrack is through watching his show.
Amazing.
Yeah. So I remember him introducing Good Charlotte. It was absolutely something like it was an older song. I'm trying to remember what it was. Like it could have been, I feel like it was Little Things. So it was like something old. It wasn't anything off of, I don't think it was anything off of Young and the Hopeless. But anyway, that's how I first heard them. I don't remember which song, but I remember being like, oh, cool, Henry Rollins. Yeah, Good Charlotte. Cool, I should check that out.
Yeah.
And I vibed with it. And then definitely around the same time was like when my best friend Jen discovered them. And a lot of the times we would do that. We would just like share music. And like, it's hard to say who found who first sometimes with certain things.
I was curious about that. Like if you remembered who found Good Charlotte first, but
yeah, I'm not sure. I think it probably, the way that it happens back then for us was we would both be listening to similar music, or both be listening to like a song by an artist, and then either I would bring like more of their discography to her, or she would do that for me. So cool. I feel though that it was, I'm pretty sure it was her that like was listening to them more than I was at the time. But then it slowly just became like a thing
mutual
that we shared together. Yeah. So that was like, that was definitely the first band that we were like mutually in love with.
I love that. And we're going to talk a lot about you and Jen and your podcast. But I also like to ask people, have you ever seen Good Charlotte live?
Yes, actually. So Good Charlotte was my first concert. And it was with my dad, which is super special. And it was at a club in Boston that is called the Avalon, which is no longer a thing. And the Pink Spiders opened for them.
Oh, so that was the tour I was just talking about before you started recording earlier on. Like fall of 2006, something like that.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. That's so funny. Yeah. So that was when I first saw them. And it was hilarious. I remember exactly what I wore. I wore a white button-up shirt with a black and red striped tie.
Oh man.
Black pants and my Converse. And my Converse at the time, they're my first pair.
What kind of black pants were they? Are we talking like dress pants or like black jeans?
They were like black, like trip pants.
Yes.
But they were like all black. So, and they were like thinner. They weren't like the big ones, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And my Converse at the time, I would write like my favorite bands.
On oh, yeah. Oh,
and,
yeah.
Like whatever. So I just remember like walking in there being like, yeah. And my dad, I will never forget, just like watched me like lose my mind and was like so like laughing at me, but like in the most supportive way. And it was the best experience, in my opinion, to see them as my first concert, and for it to have been with my dad, because my dad also loved Good Charlotte. So
I love that. That's so special that you got to share that. And
yeah,
I love the description of the outfit, because that's like, you know, what else are you going to wear to a Good Charlotte show in like 2006? Yeah. Yep. I think that was also like right around when you were talking about not like the big pants, like the kind of narrower. And I'm thinking back, and like, I think that's around when I started kind of going from like really, you know, wide leg to more of the skinny jean was starting to be in.
Yeah, that was definitely the start of from like a flare to a skinny jean.
Yeah.
And then everybody was wearing skinny jeans, including men. And that was like a big thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was definitely then.
Yes. Well, Emily, I do want to talk about Let's Talk Records, which is your podcast with Jen Evans. And, you know, this will be in the recorded intro as well. But Jen was on this show, I think it was end of 2020. I talked to her maybe early 2021, talking about March On, which is the last song on the record. So I think it's like perfect that I have you for the first song. I love, you know, just how deep you and Jen will go on your podcast. I think it's really fun. And I'm curious, like, have there been any records that like once you guys really dove in together, you were really surprised about, or anything maybe you like changed your opinion on once you started talking about them on your podcast?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think for me, one of the toughest podcasts we had, where it was like it was a band that I wasn't like super into, but we reviewed their album, and I just had like a lot more respect for them later.
Mm-hmm.
Was Switchfoot, and it was Nothing Is Sound was the album. Jen is super into Switchfoot.
I recorded an episode yesterday, by the way, and we also talked about Switchfoot on that. So like, I love that Switchfoot is just like a theme now.
That's awesome. Yeah. I, you know, obviously familiar with them and like have heard their songs before, but I was never like an avid listener, and, she really loves them. And so we reviewed their album, and, it was just a harder listen for me just because I was not super into it. But what's cool about doing this and forcing yourself to listen to an album and really deconstruct it and really think about the meaning and dive into lyrics and watch the videos and just basically do a full-blown essay on it.
Yeah.
is that you end up finding, because you have, if you're somebody who loves music, and you truly love music, you can find a love for something in anything, even if it's something that you hate, like a
you can see what other people love about it.
Exactly. And you just have to think of it like that, right? So I think that's one for me. And like, I have the album downloaded on my phone, and so every once in a while, like, the songs will come up and I'll be like, oh yeah, and I'm just thinking about it and like have a deeper appreciation for it. Even if it's not something that like I would purposefully put on, when it does come on, I'm like, oh man, yeah, like this is really good. And like, I think that's cool about doing something like this, is that you discover music in a different way, versus like always reaching for the thing that is normal to you or comfortable.
Well, it's like a very different perspective from something like this podcast, where, you know, we're talking about something that both you and I already know quite well. But that's cool, because it sounds like it forces you to, and not just expand your taste, but like expand your critical thinking and your analytical skill and your communication and, you know, whatever shit English teachers love.
No, it's so true. Every time we walk away from a podcast, I'm like, man, we are so smart.
I love that. That's so fun. I'm curious if you have any plans for new episodes, like when you guys think you might release new episodes, and if you care to share any records that you think are on the table for your discussion.
Yeah, totally. We actually just recorded Monday last week.
Amazing.
So we are definitely bringing things back together. It's definitely been a little while. We took a hiatus just because life happened, you know, things were going on. But yes, we definitely want to dive back in for season 3. I, at this point, actually, when you release the podcast, we probably would have already released this episode so I can talk about it. We recently just reviewed The Hum Goes On Forever by The Wonder Years.
Oh, okay.
I've been a Wonder Years fan, but sort of on the sidelines and never like dove in hard.
Okay.
In the previous, in my relationship that I am just getting out of, the music was dictated a lot by them. So I really didn't have, for like years, I really wasn't discovering new music. I wasn't listening to my own music. It was very much just like they were in control of that, which is, you know, it just was what it was. And so now it's been really interesting because I've been discovering like my taste again. And this was one of those first albums for me. So we were like,
I love that. And it sounds like the Wonder Years were a band you were aware of, but, you know, and I got out of a relationship last summer, and I probably dictated the music a little more, but he was so, just didn't really care about music. And so I wasn't that, like, attuned to new stuff, because the person I'd want to share it with, just, you know, wasn't that excited about it. And I had kind of a similar thing to you, of, like, sort of rediscovering a lot of stuff. That's cool. I can't wait to hear that episode. I love The Wonder Years.
Yeah.
The last thing I want to ask before we go into our discussion on Good Morning Revival is, because you mentioned this in your intro and I love dogs, I want to ask about your golden retriever, Rumney. Happy belated birthday. Tell me his gotcha story. Like, how did he come into your life? What are some of his favorite things?
So it's funny, everyone always thinks Rumney is a boy. Rumney is a girl.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry for misgendering Rumney.
No, it's totally fine. It's just funny that it happened.
I guess it sounds like a boy name.
It does. It totally does. And it actually doesn't even matter if someone doesn't know her name, they'll automatically just assume she's a boy. And I'm just like, oh, this is Rumney. She's, you know, and I'll like make it a point. But so yes, she just had her birthday. December 8th was her birthday, and actually coming up on February 4th is when I got her. I have always, and Jen can tell you about this, I have always wanted a golden retriever. I never had a dog growing up. We never had a family dog. But for years and years, I was like, when I'm ready and I have the time and I can financially support, I'm going to get a golden retriever. So,
and you did.
And I did. And it was insane. And it worked out so well where like my family knew a breeder and had used this breeder, which I normally don't like condone. Like I would love, I was originally looking at like a rescue league out of Hudson, mm-hmm. Mass. And like we had a home visit set up, like a whole thing. But this breeder came up and I was like, oh, and like we know people who have used her and like her whole pedigree is like online and you can see that she's like, she knows what she's doing. And she had puppies available. And I was like,
the timing was right.
The timing was right. And I was like, you know, this is my first dog. Like I felt more comfortable walking into this experience, having it be a puppy, versus having, you know, a rescued golden retriever. You know, you don't know what you're getting into. Mm-hmm. And me not having that experience, it made me more nervous. But anyways, so drove like 4 hours into nowhere, Maine.
Oh my God.
They had 2 boys and 2 girls left. I picked up all of the dogs, but she had a purple, they all had a dot on their ear to like signify who they were. And she had a purple dot on her ear, which was my dad's favorite color. So I was like immediately drawn to her because I was like,
That's incredible.
I pick her up and she just like immediately puts her head right underneath my chin and just like rested her head there. And just,
she was like, you're my mom now.
Yeah. And I was like, this is it. Sat in the back of the car with her all the way home during a crazy snowstorm. Took like 5 hours to get home.
Because oh my God.
And that was it. And then potty trained her in the middle of February. It was insane.
Oh my God. Yeah. Oh, I love that story. I'm looking at my foster dog right behind me. The people across the hall from me have a new puppy. They're potty training and we're both on the third floor and I'm, you know, but sounds like it was worth it. And Remy is your best girl.
Yes, it was totally worth it. She is awesome. She's so smart. Mm. She did shred a paper towel this morning, but that's okay. Yeah. I forgive her. But she's so
still
cool.
A puppy.
She's still a puppy. Like, and she, people are, I'm like, oh yeah, she's one. And they're like, oh, she's definitely still like hyperactive, like a puppy. I'm like, yeah, dude. And until she's like 3 years old, especially since she's a golden, she's going to be insane. But yeah, she's good. She's a really good listener. So,
aww, yeah. I love that. I love that.
Asking about her.
Oh my God, of course. I'm enjoying having my foster and I like literally keep turning my head. I'm looking at him, but mm-hmm. He's pretty great. He's pretty sweet. His name is Sky, but same thing with Rumney that people just hear the name Sky and you know they don't know if he's a boy or girl.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, we could talk about dogs for.
We
for
totally her. Could.
I will bring Sky on camera after we finish recording. Okay.
Yeah,
I just knew I would get too distracted if I had him on my lap the whole time, mm-hmm. which he would prefer. But Emily, we connected a while ago. I'm so happy we're doing this. And I would love to know why you wanted to talk about Good Morning Revival, this song.
Yeah, well, I think it's interesting to talk about an intro song, and I love a good intro song.
Yes.
I think it just like makes or breaks an album, and not every album needs to have one in order for it to be good. But I love when one has one, especially when it like sets the tone for what you're going to be hearing for the rest of the time. And I think here, especially with Good Charlotte, you're getting something so wildly different than the other albums. So immediately you're just hit with like, what is this and what is this going to be? So I'm excited to talk about it because I'm definitely passionate about intro songs. And I just think like this one's a good one for a couple different reasons. So,
yeah. You're right that this is like so different. And, you know, yes, the past 2 albums had intro songs, but this album, and it's like by the time it came out, we'd heard a couple songs, but still putting this album on, hearing this song, it was like, what? Like,
yeah,
what's going on? I mean, let's talk about what the song means, like mm-hmm. what it's about. What's your interpretation of the lyrics here?
Yeah, so that's a good question. I, you know, and it's funny because, like, I really hadn't thought hard about it until I'm like, I have to think hard about this. And so the first thing I really, like, dove into was just what is Good Morning Revival? Like, what is that even as a thing? And in doing my research, Good Morning Revival is actually, like, a biblical thing. I don't know if you found
this. No. Wait, okay. Tell me everything.
Okay. So
if there's a biblical thing, I'm sure it was intentional.
I think it probably was. So it's a spiritual term and it refers to waking up early to spend time with the Lord and the whole idea about clearing up your conscience before the start of your day.
Oh, well, I would imagine that's definitely intentional.
I think so too.
Especially with the river being, say the biggest song from this record and, you know, kind of figuring out their relationship with religion and God, I think. I like that a lot because, you know, we'll read a quote, but, you know, they talked about how Good Morning Revival was like a fresh start for the band, but I did not know that. Mm-hmm. And I love that you found that. But that makes sense. And I, you know, when I think about this album, because as I was thinking about getting ready for this episode, I've like had a little change of perspective almost. Mm. When I think about this album, I think like cynical and jaded are some of the words that come to mind, mm-hmm. right? And angsty kind of, but like jaded and cynical, you know, because I feel like a big theme of this album is like, they're in Hollywood and they're like realizing, you know, this place they'd always dreamed of. And they're now realizing how fake and messed up it is. And they are miserable and everyone's miserable. And I was like, okay, well, it's cynical and jaded. I'm now, as I was like thinking hard about the album title, I'm like, there's almost like this like self-awareness revelation, I think, kind of, that you have to like dig to like really appreciate, but like a self-awareness, like a revelation of self-awareness in order to realize that, hey, some of this stuff is like not cool.
Mm-hmm. I love that. That's a great perspective on this album. And I think nobody, like, this is why having these conversations is so great, right? Because at face value, you take this album and they're like, oh, they changed their tone and they're, you know, no longer really doing this like pop punk rock thing. What are they doing? And they just put together this album. But like when you really step back and think about the meaning behind it, I love that so much that it's like this revelation of like, these are the things that are sucking in my life. And like the things I'm unhappy about, but how do you move past that in a like positive way? And at first you think, like you said, it's jaded and you get songs like Misery and like, what is it called? All Black, I think is the name of the song.
Yes.
And you're thinking like, oh, okay. Yeah. Like this is where these guys are versus like really digging in and seeing like, no, this is like, come to terms with situation and like how do you move forward from that,
like okay, I am like a caricature of myself and then I just like wallow in my misery and I always wear black and I don't want to go to weddings, I want to go to funerals, you know, whatever. How do I get out of that, you know? I mean, this song slides right into Misery and it kind of uses some of the lyrics from Misery, right? But In like the very beginning of this, you know, you hear a voice saying the story of all of us, he went around, and then there's like continued kind of like dialogue sort of under some of the song, which I haven't been able to make out. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you have. Mm-mm. I am, now that you told me this, you know, biblical term of a Good Morning Revival, I'm wondering if this dialogue is maybe related to that somehow. I don't know. Do you have any thoughts?
It's a good question. I think thinking of it in the way of like Good Morning Revival is like what that means.
Yeah.
In the way of religion. I don't know. The story of all of us. He went around. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it could just be that we kind of all have those moments in our life, right? Like,
maybe
we're doing something, we're involved in something, maybe it's work, maybe it's a project, maybe it's friend group, like whatever, a relationship where you're like, you finally have that like morning where you wake up and you go like, oh man, like this isn't for me anymore or whatever. Yeah. Like it's the thing that connects us all, right? So I think like maybe in that way is like we're all going to have those moments.
Maybe.
And that's the story of all of us, like what connects us. I don't know. Ooh. I'm grasping here.
I wish I knew, like, because there's even between those phrases, I feel like there's some mumbling. And like, yeah. I wish what I knew the full dialogue of everything being said and kind of like the dialogue, like the sort of spoken parts of the song. Because a lot of it is like, you can hear it under the singing.
Maybe it's like a sermon.
Right, maybe, yeah, that's what I'm thinking, like a sermon or, you know, their kind of quasi-religious take on whether they give a shit about sermons and God and anything at all, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. You had a good point that, you know, this album, it's like, I don't know, is it doing the pop punk thing? I mean, how does it fit? Because like, you know, people call this the dance album, right?
Yeah.
But there's also been a lot of comparisons for this album to like Muse and Coldplay, which I would say are like alt rock to radio rock, depending on, you know, what kind of era and what songs we're talking about specifically. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. Where would you say this song fits, or does it fit in multiple places?
I don't know where it fits. I feel like like on its own, not feeding into Misery, I'm like, I feel like it's like experimental electronic rock. Like I really don't even know where to put it. And I think that's what's so interesting about it. And again, like going back to this being an intro song and like what tone is it setting for the album, as a Good Charlotte fan who's used to getting like a traditional Good Charlotte song,
right?
Or just knowing what you're getting, you're just like, what is this? Which I think is one of my favorite things that bands do, is they're not afraid to put something like this out there, knowing that like if you're a fan, you're a fan, and you're either going to like love it because you love us, or you know, we're out here making music because we're musicians and artists and we want to do something different. Right. And I have so much respect for when people take those chances.
And I think Good Charlotte has, I mean, in many ways consistently kind of done that.
Mm-hmm.
You said like experimental, which I like that. And I'm thinking, and I'm maybe biased because this is one of my other absolute most favorite bands, but like Angels and Airwaves and that sort of like almost progressive-y alt rock. Like
that's a really, you know, really good comparison. Yeah.
Like the first song in the first Angels and Airwaves record, Valkyrie Missile, is, you know, that it's talking about like starting over, right? And how there's like a fresh start. And I could kind of I very much see that thematically here, as well as just, I mean, that's another person, Tom DeLonge, who's like rooted in punk rock and then decides to do something very experimental and very out there and an artful soundscape, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, are any other like other artists you might throw out as comparisons?
I know. I was trying to think about this. I'm like, what are other people that have just like, or other bands that have just like thrown out an album where you're just like, what is that?
Yeah.
And the other band that came to mind for me was like Fall Out Boy.
Okay.
Or like you're getting like the first three albums are like, you know what you're gonna get.
Yeah.
And then they came out with, actually, I think the first one that came out where I was like, what, this is a little bit different, was Thanks for the Memories. I think it was that one.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that album. And
it's a great album.
That was probably around this time, right? Because I remember being really into that album.
Yeah, okay. So
which would make sense because I was into this album and I was really into getting really into Angels and Airwaves around the same time.
Yeah, so that came out in 2007.
Okay, yeah, so.
Yeah. Was it? Hold on. Oh, okay. Infinity on High.
Infinity on High. Yes. Yeah.
That was the first. That was the one where I was like, this is different. They're transitioning into something a little different. So that is the only other thing I could think of immediately.
I like that you mentioned Fall Out Boy, and I am glad I have a chance just to like share this soundbite on this podcast. I think I'm like 50-50 on the new stuff so far. I need to give it more listens. I think Mania is brilliant, and it's their best post-hiatus release because they were starting to get very like pop and whatever, and then on Mania they were just like, fuck it, we're just doing like a pop arena rock kind of record, and it's like weird and it's so good because it's just like what it is. It's not trying to hold on to old follower. I think Mania is great. If anyone wants to give me a platform to talk about why Mania by Fall Out Boy is like actually good, let me know. I will happily talk about it. Anyway, in terms of this song of Good Morning Revival by Good Charlotte, they did talk about it in, you know, a handful of interviews. A quote that I've pulled is from an interview with Fuse. So I'm wondering, I feel like you must have seen this back in the day. It sounds like you watch Fuse a lot. Benji says that it fit the vibe of the record. He said, the last couple records were kind of dark. Muse has gotten kind of dark. We just wanted to make something kind of feel good and bright and fun again, kind of like our first album. What does Good Morning Revival really mean? It's that feeling when you wake up in the morning and it's a good morning. And then Joel continued that it was about a new chapter for the band after 12 years. I really think, Emily, that you're onto something with that like biblical reference. I mean, and I haven't found them talking about that with this record.
Right.
But I mean, the river is you know.
Yeah, you've got like heavily like religious lyrics in there.
Right.
Like he's literally talking about being baptized.
Right. And there's, you know, yeah, there's some of that as metaphor, but I don't think it's just metaphor. I think there's like a kind of questioning of faith and what it means and, you know, whether you're being true to your own self. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. And I mean, it could just be being used metaphorically, right? Like it could be in, you know, whatever symbolically is going on in their life, like that. Those are the words that they chose to use to symbolize.
But I don't think it's just. I would hazard a guess that it's not just a metaphor. Mm-hmm. Knowing Good Charlotte, right?
Yeah.
Knowing their background, mm-hmm. knowing Right Where I Belong on Cardiology, which is a very religious song. Yeah. Like,
well, even the album Chronicles of Life and Death, like,
yeah,
that's. There's definitely some undertones there too.
That's a good point. And I think like with Chronicles, like that's a depressing album in a lot of ways, right?
Yeah.
And this album is, you know, maybe that's like the album where, you know, they've got some success and they're miserable. And then maybe the fresh start of this album is like the realizing kind of why they feel so miserable and like what is wrong with it and that they don't have to be miserable, mm-hmm. I think, is part of it. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's true. And I think, like, you can get really pigeonholed as a band in creating the same content because, you know, full circle, like, this is what people expect from you. What are you going to do, put out another depressing album? Like, that's just what people expect. And then because of that, you're just perpetually in this mind state. And yeah. Just everything is terrible. So how do you get out of that and create something that's like feels good to your audience and to you?
Right. And they it's funny because I for so long have been like, okay, well, like this album is depressing. And I don't, you know, as we talk about it, like the kind of title and sort of the very concept of the album, I'm coming around a lot more to, yeah, it talks about a lot of like not really happy shit, but it's kind of like the place where you're pulling yourself out of stuff. Mm-hmm. And then on Cardiology, there's a lot where they genuinely seem a lot happier, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like Harlow's song, for example.
Yeah, it's a good it's a transition. It's a transition out of like a mind state.
Right. And it's like if they had gone from Chronicles to Cardiology, that would have been like, what the fuck? Yeah, exactly. It would not have made sense.
Yeah.
And you know, Right Where I Belong without the context of the river, I still think it's a fabulous song, but with the context of the river, Right Where I Belong, I think is goddamn brilliant. But Emily, I'd love to know if you have any like memories or stories that you want to share about this song.
I don't have any specific memories about this song. What I will share, though, just about the album.
Yeah, go ahead.
Is when it came out, like I said, my dad and I were big fans of Good Charlotte. And one of the things that we would always do is just like drive around and listen to music. So I bought this album and I hadn't even really listened to much of it. I think the only song that I had heard off of the album was The River. And there's this song on the album, Get Your Hands Off My Girl.
Yes.
And every single time we would be listening to that song in the chorus, there's this part where they go, and my dad and I would do this dance every time in the car where we would like lean back like this.
I love that.
I don't know why, but every single time we listened to it, we would do that. And it was just this big inside joke. But we really loved the album. Like we would listen to it all the way through.
I love that. And thank you for sharing that. I had my dad on the show to talk about I Just Want to Live. And I love that you were talking about like that sort of falsetto part in the chorus, because like my dad would sing along to the falsetto part of I Just Want to Live. And yeah, I guess that's just the thing dads do. They like the falsetto. I don't know.
I think it is a
dad
thing. You're right.
It must be. Other Good Charlotte songs this maybe relates to. I mean, we've thrown out a bunch, right? You know, Misery. We talked about the river. I want to talk about all the other intro songs they've done. Do you have any others to mention?
As far as intro songs go, or just
In general, any songs they've done with like a similar theme, kind of.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. The only other song that comes to mind is the intro to Chronicles, which is the Once Upon a Time intro.
Yes.
But which is just so good. I could listen to that like over and over and over again. Oh my god, what a good intro.
Let's talk about the intro. So they had A New Beginning on The End of the Hopeless, Once Upon a Time, The Battle of Life and Death on Chronicles, Good Morning Revival and Good Morning Revival, Introduction to Cardiology on Cardiology, and then Generation RX on Generation RX. So from the second album, I think Youth Authority was the only one that didn't have an intro song.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Any thoughts on how this compares to some of their other intros?
I mean, it's definitely, I think to me, like the one that just like stands out the most. I think also, I don't know if you feel this way too, but I feel like this one is way more elusive. Like you're just like still unsure, where like all the other ones are just very much like, here we go, this is your album. You still just aren't sure with this song, like what is going to follow and what's going to happen.
Yes. Oh, that's such a good point.
Yeah.
A New Beginning, I mean, that has no lyrics, right? It has some like vocalizations, but there's no words. And that's like a Tim Burton, Danny Elfman kind of soundtrack, right?
Describe it, yeah.
Once Upon a Time has lyrics, but they're in Japanese. But I would agree that I feel like Once Upon a Time, especially, is a great like musical introduction to that album.
God. It is a masterpiece.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it like has to be in Japanese, because if it was in English, it wouldn't be like quite as cool. Like the fact that it's in Japanese just kind of like makes it creepy, I think.
Yeah.
Because you don't really know what they're saying, but you know what the vibe is. And, Introduction to Cardiology, I mean, I think very clearly introduces cardiology.
Yeah, like, you're like, I know what I'm getting.
Very directly. And Generation RX with that album as well. Yeah. So you're right. I like you said, kind of out of left field. Like, you don't really know what's going to follow.
Yeah,
this.
You're still just like, what is this? Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is fun. I like that.
Yeah.
The mystery of that.
So I want to read some reviews. The first one we're going to mention, so it's from the New York Times, and I will say, I don't know, I didn't get to read the full review. I don't have access, so I couldn't get the article.
Yeah,
I probably could have gotten someone to, you know, grab it, screenshot it for me, log in for me, but on a Metacritic, there's a little snippet, and I had to read it because I think this is great. New York Times said, and I just think this is great. Because, and I think I'm probably going to tweet this screenshot like right after we finish, because I just think it's really funny. A mystifyingly inept CD that includes some of the worst lyrics you will, or with any luck, won't hear all year. I mean, so like, I think you and I disagree with the fact that it's inept and the lyrics are like the worst lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like, I wish I could read the whole review, because I feel like probably this person is like really smart. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. This doesn't sound like someone who's like a lazy writer or who just is coming out with the intent to hate, you know?
Sometimes people like to use big words to, you know.
But they say mystifyingly inept. That to me implies either they don't know how anyone could be this bad, or they don't know how Good Charlotte could be this bad, and they had such high regard for Good Charlotte, and then this album came out, and, you know. Ultimate Guitar gave the album an overall impression of 8. They give the sound 7 and the lyrics 7. So I think that came out to like an overall 7.3 or something. Compared to other artists, and by the way, I think this was like a user review. It is like full of errors, like spelling errors. It's
yes.
Yeah. Compared to other artists, this band's album has done fairly well. The joy of listening is very warm and I think they mean subtle.
Subtle.
I enjoy pumping in the disc, kicking back, and listening. Their introduction song sets the tone to the whole album, and I was excited the first time I heard the song. Couldn't wait to hear the rest. The overall album was great, but my prediction is in a couple years, it might be looked at as a start of something great.
I love that idea of looking back on an album. I do that sometimes, like, with artists. I'll be like, oh, like, you know, I don't like this album that they came out with 4 years after the, like, my, like, favorite album or something.
Yeah.
And, but then later on, I'll pop it on and be like, oh, man, actually, this is pretty good. Like, and that you just have a different respect for it than maybe you did back then, because you were searching for something different and it didn't hit.
Yeah.
So I think that is a great perspective. You know, errors aside, it is a good perspective.
Yeah.
About an album that, like, maybe later on hits right.
I know. I'm like waiting for it for Good Morning Revival to get the like widespread kind of appreciation that, like, you know, you and I have for it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm waiting for that.
It's okay. Sputnik. Even if it never happens, it can just be for us.
Exactly. Hold on. I think Sky wants to come on my lap. So.
Okay, no problem.
So. I'll probably edit some of this out, but listeners, I have my foster dog Sky on my lap right now. So if you hear any little barking or anything, that's because there's a dog on my lap, because he prefers to be on my lap.
Little baby.
The last review we'll read. Little 8-year-old baby. Yeah. The last review we'll read is from Sputnik Music. They gave it a 2.5. With their previous two albums, the band seems to have developed a fancy for intro tracks. True. On The Young and the Hopeless, they gave us a 2-minute rocker, and on The Chronicles of Life and Death, the intro was a strange but cool orchestral piece, complete with Japanese choir vocals. Two completely different intros, and this album continues that trend. Good Morning Revival is basically Joel's voice swimming in synth and keyboards, two things that haven't been explored too much by the band before. It's a nice intro, but it really serves no points at all, except that it leads right into the second track. They could have done without it. Then again, they could have done without a lot of things on Good Morning Revival. That's an interesting perspective. It's not wrong, I don't think. So they were like, yeah, they seemed like they really liked the intro, but they felt like it had no connection to the album.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I disagree. I feel like just, it needs to be there because I feel like it does still say something.
Yes, I agree.
Even if it doesn't come right out and say it.
It's also
think about it. I still think it's important.
I think it's also the only place on the album where they say,
yes,
good morning, today yes, we revive. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Now that I think about, like, those words, good morning, today, like, it feels like he's giving a sermon, almost.
Yeah. And maybe that's the point of the whole album. Oh, man. Now I need to, like, I listened to this album, like, all week, but I need to listen to it one more time, because I feel like, I feel like I'm going to be thinking differently about it after this conversation.
Yeah.
So.
I want to read some YouTube comments. These are from a fan upload by Landscape of the Lie. Zadie B said, this song used to be my alarm back in my uni days. My ex-roommate hated it a lot because she felt it was creepy with the sentence, keep your sadness alive. Fair.
That is fair. It is an interesting alarm clock.
Nicole Sadia said, IDK, but this is going to be my alarm tone from now on. I don't know if that was in response, but Day Tripper said, 55 Seconds of Heaven. I love this.
Mm.
Rosa Bernard said, I love this band since day one until this day. Now that I'm 33 years old with two kids, I still listen to them, and I'm still very much in lust with Benji LMAO.
Which is just perfect.
Yeah. On song meetings, there were a few people debating.
Yes, you okay?
There were a few people debating what was being said, and do you see his ears, like, perking up? A few people debating what was being said and who's singing in the background. One Step Behind 29 said, this album was not the best. And I have to say, this beginning part was probably my fave part out of this album. That's sad. Mm. Fire Shrew said, I love this song. Can anyone recommend anything that sounds similar to this? Doesn't matter which band. That's a bit longer. And then another user, You're Cute When You Scream, said, you know, responded to Fire Shrew and said, this is In Misery, it's a part of that, so listen to that and see if you like it.
Yeah, I think it would have been cool if, like, they really took that, like, synthesized, like, vibe into, I mean, they did take, like, that electronic, like, feel into their songs, for sure, but it would have been cool if they did, like, even if they ended the album with something.
I was thinking about that. And I almost wonder if they thought that too, and that's why Cardiology had the intro track at the beginning and the title track at the end.
Mm-hmm.
I think Face the Strange should have been on the album as the final track.
Mm.
Or maybe, you know, before March On, with March On at the end. I don't know. But I think, as we talk about, you know, the kind of themes of the album, I think Face the Strange would fit a lot. And I could see that. Maybe Face the Strange going into an instrumental outro
that's true.
Kind of brings back some of the instrumentals from this.
Yeah, I can see that.
Justice for Face the Strange. There were not a lot of Amazon reviews that have much to say about this. Unfortunate, but I'll read two. DT gave it 4 out of 5 and said, good offerings. I would say 7 tracks are very good. The remaining 4 are okay. My favorite track is Misery. The second track, which emerges out of the weak intro track with a simple but powerful drum guitar combination.
I would not say it's weak, but okay.
Yeah. No Alias gave it a 4 out of 5 and said, people are just impossible to please. I don't even really listen to Good Charlotte. Their style isn't my cup of tea, but I figured I would give this album a shot since I liked their single, The River. And I was right to take that shot. The first 7 songs in this album are solid. Lyrics are nothing to write home about, but they get the job done. The music is definitely a step up from their previous efforts. I really don't know what people expect anymore. I think they expect too much, especially from bands like Good Charlotte. Okay, so they liked this was one of the first 7, so I presume they liked this song.
Yeah, I think it's funny to I like this review a lot because it's funny to think of somebody stepping into Good Charlotte at this album.
Yeah.
And being like, yeah, this is really good. I think, you know, there are two different, well, really three different, like, listeners and fans. Like, there's one that steps into this album and goes, oh, this is, like, their best album because they didn't like their previous stuff. There's people like me and you
who have been there before. Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's people who just, like, are Good Charlotte fans and hated this album.
Right. Like, maybe they were there from the first album and they were like, what is this?
What is this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Emily, as we wrap up, I want to know, how has Good Morning Revival, the song, held up for you over time?
It's funny. I feel like, for sure, doing this podcast with you has made me think far deeper.
Yay!
Which now I find myself doing anyway. So anytime I'm like, I'm going to listen to a whole
album. Right, because you have your show. Yeah.
Yeah. And now I think about music just so differently, which is sometimes frustrating. But I think that for me is like, you know, at first it was just cool. It's just the intro to this album. Now it has just like a deeper meaning, which is just how I look at music now when I listen to it. It's just, I find myself like doing that deconstructive thought process. So I think over time it's gotten better because it just means more than it did before, which is cool. And it's not necessarily something I would have ever delved back into to think about this hard, unless, you know, you hadn't happened to be here. So thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you for being here, Emily. Mm-hmm. This has been a lot of fun, and it's really fun with some of these. Like, obviously there's, you know, the big tracks, you know, when this album, when this episode comes out, it will be not too long after the episode on Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. Right. And there's a lot out there on that song. Right. There's not much out there on this song. And I think that's almost like what makes this like really fun. Cause it's like, we really have to like dig and think like really hard. Like, what do we pull from this?
Yeah.
This has been really nice.
Yeah. Thank you for doing all of this.
Oh, thank you for coming on, Emily. This is so fun.
Having me on.
You're so welcome. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Emily, I would love to know, what has Good Charlotte meant to you over the years, and how has that changed?
I love that question. I think over the years, it's nostalgia to me. It is. It's like everything that was me being this little like emo kid in middle school, even into high school, and like feeling like an outsider for sure, not being like a sports kid and like being a band geek instead, and like, you know, listening to this music and but also feeling like I belong to something, you know, even if I can't physically see it, and just having so many memories of like screaming Good Charlotte in the back of, you know, Jen's mom's van while we drive to Walmart or the mall or something, and
gotta go buy a red striped tie.
Exactly.
Mom, take us to Hot Topic.
Yes. So for sure, it's nostalgia. I think now it's so funny. Like, there was a time in my life where I think I became, and I'll be totally honest, I think I became like super snobby when it came to music. Mm-hmm. And like stuff that I was listening to in my past, like when I was younger, like My Chemical Romance or Panic at the Disco or like whatever in that genre, I was like, I'm not listening to that anymore. But like now I'm like, if I have to like drive, like drove home at midnight after I came home from California and I knew I had to blast music to keep myself awake. And what did I blast? I blasted like some old good 2000s emo pop punk stuff. And like, that is just forever going to be rooted in my soul. And Good Charlotte is 100% a part of that, and probably a much larger part of that. So yeah, hopefully that answers the question.
But that does. No, and that's fabulous. I think what you said about, like, you know, all of us kind of about you having a sort of period where you were, you know, embarrassed or whatever about, you know, the stuff you listened to when you were younger. Mm-hmm. I think that's really natural. I think so many of us went through that. And I think at this point in our lives, I think you and I are around the same age. You know, I think at this point in our lives, we're kind of like, okay, like, whatever.
Like what you like. Yeah, I literally don't
care. I have a podcast about Good Charlotte. Yeah. So, like, I'm not really concerned with anyone out there, like, thinking I have a cool taste in music, right?
Yes.
Because some people will forever think I'm lame for doing this. Whatever.
It's I think it's amazing. And I think Thank all you. Too often do we, and I used to be this person, like, I wanted to base my aesthetic off of the music I was listening to and match them, right? So it's like, and it's just, we all do this thing where, like, we want to be a part of whatever it is.
Yeah, it's natural because we want community.
Yeah, but I'm like, no, like, all of me is rooted in my past, so it's like, I can't disregard that.
Yeah,
but anyway, yeah.
No, I love that. Emily,
this is a great conversation.
Yeah. This has been fabulous. Do you have any last words about Good Morning Revival, about Good Charlotte, about Let's Talk Records, or about yourself?
Definitely give this album another chance if you're a Good Charlotte fan and you hated it.
Or if you're not a Good Charlotte fan, but you're, I don't know, a friend of either of ours that's listening.
Yeah.
Because once in a while, a friend of mine will hit me up and be like, oh, I don't really like Good Charlotte, but I checked out your podcast because I wanted to see what you do.
That's amazing. Yeah. I love that. So definitely give it a shot. And, you know, hopefully you like it. I think as far as my podcast goes, Jen and I, so we plan on releasing season 3 hopefully mid-February, beginning of March.
So it'll probably be out by the time that this is out.
It'll probably be out amazing. By this time. Absolutely. But you can find us, we're Let's Talk Records, we're on Spotify, and we're on Apple Music, and we're on, or not Apple Music, sorry. We're on Spotify, we're on Apple Podcasts, and we're on Pinecast. And yeah, I'm excited to create more content. And hey, if you ever need a guest to talk about any Good Charlotte song, Jen and I are here for you for sure.
Amazing. Amazing. Emily, this has been fabulous. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you.
You're welcome. As we wrap up, so I have a Generation GC and Friends Spotify playlist. So I will put the song Good Morning Revival. I'll probably throw on like some Muse and maybe a Coldplay because we talked about them. But I would love to know what's something you are listening to lately that you want to share with everyone. Anything that's not Good Charlotte, and it has to be on Spotify. That's the only qualifications.
Okay. Oh, man. I have been listening to, I got so many things, but right now I'm really into the album Pep by Lights.
Cool.
It's her latest album. It's really, really good. The song Jaws is my favorite one.
Cool. I'll put that on there. Thank you.
Yeah.
Emily, again, for coming on the show. Where can people find Let's Talk Records? Do you want to share, you know, your socials or how to find the podcast? And if you have, you know, if you want to share your own socials, that people can keep up with you as well.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah, so you can find Let's Talk Records on Instagram. It's literally just at Let's Talk Records.
Amazing.
You can find me on Instagram as well. I'm at emmy.cloud. And then, as I mentioned too, Let's Talk Records, we're on Spotify and on Apple Podcasts and on Pinecast as well.
Amazing. Emily, thank you so much. This has been fabulous. Listeners, thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Generation GC. Last time we talked about Falling Away from the Chronicles of Life and Death. On our next episode, we'll be talking about a song from Cardiology. My name is Molly Huddleston once again, and as always, I've been your host, as well as the producer, creator, and editor of this podcast. You can follow Generation GC at Generation GC Pod, P-O-D, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also follow me, Molly, at M Huddleston, M-H-U-D-E-L-S-O-N, on Twitter and Instagram. Please make sure to follow, subscribe to the show wherever you listen. If you're on Apple Podcasts, please, please, please rate and leave a review. Most importantly, tell your friends. Word of mouth is the best way to make the Generation GC fam grow. Thank you again for tuning in.